appreciate Miss Linda tonight. Amen. I'll enjoy the song very much. I'm going to leave it alone. I can imagine. Be in prayer for Miss Linda. We won't talk about the birthday she just had. I'm going to drop it, Miss Linda. I'm done. I'm going to drop it. I'm good. I'm not going to talk anymore about it. Okay. Really had a good time with our guys from the boys' home. They came and stayed at our house. I think I announced that Sunday they stayed in our home. They'll be leaving in the morning. So we've had 12 boys along with Brother Gary. So 13 in our house, all sleeping upstairs. And it's been eventful. They made our sewer really mad, and so we had problems there. And they made the air conditioner mad, and so the air conditioner guy out. And just seemed like, you know, made the pool mad, and the pool stopped working. But we got most of it up and going again, I guess. And then you all know I'm just talking, the Stones are living in our little apartment we have in our shop. So there's 17, you know. I think it just made my house mad. Anyway, but we've had a good time, and I appreciate those of you who've fixed some things, especially desserts. And Miss Ud, they really, really love you, and they may be sending you cards. I don't know, but that whatever that Oreo stuff we made today, that was pretty good. We fed them. Monday night we fed them something. I don't remember what it was. Spaghetti. We fed them fish last night, fried fish that they caught themselves on Monday morning. That's pretty neat. One of the kids had never caught a fish before. Again, you're talking about a 17-year-old who'd never caught a fish before. Some of these guys are like from Philadelphia and Chicago, and I guess they don't fish up in there. Sorry, all you guys from the north. I was just picking at you. And so they're at Brother Grice's church tonight. Y'all be in prayer for them. And just it was a lot of fun. We took them paintballing this morning. That's another whole story. And just kept them busy. And I told you, I think I alluded Sunday, and they're not here, so I'll tell you. You know, they were at a previous church. So anyway, the church before they came to ours brought out a casserole dish this big and said, "There's supper." And a couple other things that happened to them, and they go on these tours, you know, these various churches. And I think some churches are just maybe not prepared, but our church is always prepared. And I've enjoyed spoiling them. If I could, I'd just load them up with some, I don't know what we'd load them up with, but a lot more food. I think food's important to young boys. And we found that out. Like, how many hot dogs can one kid eat? We fed them chili, you know, chili and cheese hot dogs today. And they have one of those boys is called, his name is Tony, but they call him the Tank. And it's not because he's strong. It's because he can eat his weight. It's amazing to watch him eat. It reminds me a lot of myself. I enjoyed watching him eat. And anyway, it's good to get to know the boys. They've been really, really fun. And so y'all be in prayer for them tonight as they present their ministry over there. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 10, a familiar passage. Luke chapter 10. And some of you who are newer may ask, "Pastor, did you play paintball with them?" Well, our members who've been with us a while wouldn't even have to ask. The answer is yes. And the answer is, the question would be, did you get shot? The answer is yes. And did it hurt? The answer is yes. And I have scars to prove it. And I think it's just, you know, amazing to get to play with those guys, and they get to shoot the pastor. It was just awesome. I was out of breath a time or two, only once or twice. Luke chapter 10, and look with me in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love, and Lord, as we talk about a familiar subject, as we've preached on many times, I pray tonight it would become fresh in our own hearts. Lord, we would be about worshiping You to a great extent. And the Lord, as we worship You, to go about serving You. Pray, Lord, this would be very clear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about Mary and Martha, and again, a familiar story, we think about priorities. Priorities are simply the ordering of our lives based upon the important coming before the less important. And it's, you know, that seems simple, but it's not. Most of us understand and know in the world which we live in, which is just as fast and furious as it can be, that many times the lines between what's important and what's sort of important and what's not important become very gray. And I think about just various things in individuals' lives, in my own life, as well as those who've come to me for counseling and, you know, preacher, what do I do here and what do I do there? And sometimes I can't take the Bible out and say, you know what, it doesn't say here, it says here this or this. No, it's some of these areas you have to go to the Lord. You have to seek His will. You have to seek His face. You have to determine what is the most important. Sometimes we settle for good instead of best. And we have to understand that many of these things are simply personal. We have to go to God and pray and seek His face. But there is some help in the Bible, there always is, in just ordaining our lives, or ordering our lives, not ordaining, ordering our lives in priorities. These are priorities. I think Brother Wiggins touched on this here a while back. And so determining the priorities, and what is first things? What is the first thing we should do? What's first things first? And so, It is a spiritual dimension. All these questions about what's important and what's not important is in a spiritual a dimension. I have a things to do list. I've been using the same things to do list as far as the routine of how my things to do list works. I've been using the same one for 20 years. And so each Sunday afternoon, most of the time, if not on Monday morning, I come in and I take my old things to do list from last week. And I make me a new things to do list for this week. I still handwrite all mine. I don't use those little iPad thingies and all that. My routine. So I write it all out. Monday, I have it, it's sectioned out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it has little lines and just start writing. This is what I'm going to do on Monday. This is what I'm going to do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And even when I do take a day off, I actually write in there what I'm hope to do with my boys. And my girl, and then I keep on writing. Even on Sunday, even write down what I believe the Lord's going to have me preach, and I write all that down. I mean, pretty well everything that I plan on doing, it's on that list. I've also kept every list I've ever made because I'm a pack rat. So I have the same list. I have gone back and looked at my list from 1994. It's really interesting. Everyone said, you ought to do that. I have every calendar that I've ever had for every church, anywhere I've ever been. And I can go back, and in fact, the other day somebody asked, what did y'all do back when you first started Heritage? And da da da. And I could go back and I say, here's what we did. And I can even go get my things to do list and find out what I did each day. And so it's important to me. It ought to be important to you as you go through your routine of life, whatever that is, that important things are done first. And so many times, in fact, I have never yet completed a list. It just does not happen. And I think most of you are in the same boat. I have the list, and so whatever doesn't get accomplished this week gets put on next week's list. And there has been times, honestly, where something that was on a list 2 months ago is still on my list because of priorities. I'm just going to move that along on my list, but I'm going to keep it on there to remind me that at some point it needs to get done. And that's why I tell you, I've told you on several occasions throughout the year, what you want to do when you ask me to do something is you want to get on that list. Because that list is amazing. It just doesn't die. It just keeps... Anyway. Priorities. Priorities are important. And what you do first is important. What's important to you in your life? Now, I've used a silly illustration, my things to do list, but all of us have a list of things we do daily, on a daily basis. our routine of life. What is it that you do? You get up in the morning, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you have your routine in the mornings, you have a routine at night before you go to bed. What is that routine? And in that routine and in the daily grind and in their daily life are the most important things getting done and on a daily basis. We see here in the story of Mary and Martha two things. We see Martha serving. And serving's not bad, and it's not a bad thing to serve, amen? I mean, to do for others and serve in the church and be busy about the Lord's work. But it's just not as important, or it's just not the most important thing you can do. Mary was doing the most important thing. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary was communing with the Lord. That's the most important thing you can do. By the way, everything else on your list will certainly be better off if you'll do the communing with the Lord first. Say that again. If you commune with the Lord first, if you get up in the morning and seek the Lord early and pray and have that quiet time. And listen, I don't think it has to be 20 minutes long. I've had other people tell me, preacher, is it okay to pray on my way to work? Can that be my prayer time on the way to work? Absolutely it can be. If that is your time with the Lord and you have a 30-minute commute and you want to spend that 30 minutes as your communion time with the Lord and pray, and you do that on a regular basis, in other words, it's not your afterthought, oh, I forgot to pray, you know. I'm saying that is your time. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't shut your eyes, okay? And when you're talking to the Lord, you know, out loud, and people next to you are wondering what in the world you're doing. But there's nothing wrong with that. But your communion with the Lord is the most important thing. In the Christian life, having a personal relationship with the Lord, have we ever said this in the pulpit at all? I wonder why the preacher has to preach on it about every fourth sermon, Brother Cox, do you know? That's because we don't get it, you know? Things that we don't get as a congregation, we just keep on preaching them. And actually, it's because the preacher wants to encourage you to continue doing it. And if you're not doing it, we want to encourage you to get back on board. Because the Christian life is not this. It's this. And so when you get out of your routine, I asked a person here recently, came to my office for counseling. I said, how are things going? And they began to go into their issues. And I said, how's your personal walk with the Lord? How's your devotional life? Do you have a devotional life? Because to me, and biblically, that's the most important thing. If you're having problems in your life, if you're dealing with priority problems, which nearly every problem you have is a priority problem, how's your daily walk? Martha was about serving the Lord, and certainly we don't want to leave off serving, but we don't want to do the serving and exclude the communing. We need to commune with the Lord. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. Verse 42. But this one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. See, determining priorities by deciding, and many times is by deciding through accountability. Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In other words, as you think about what I should do as a Christian, you must remember that one day you'll stand before God and give an account of your works, whether they be good or bad. And that was quoted the other night. Can I tell you again what that means? When you get to heaven, you're not going to give an account for your sins. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, you're not going to stand before God one day and a computer screen come down and God say to you, look what you did. You did this, 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 and this, talking about sins, things you did wrong. Or even the sins of omission. In other words, there's not going to be a big list. Those are under the blood. Amen? I've been forgiven, past, present, and future. My sins are gone. In fact, the Bible says my sins have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. They're gone forever. And I'm glad again that it's past, present, and future. All of them are gone. So you say, well, then what's going to happen when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? At the Bema Seat Judgment, the Bible calls it the Bema Seat Judgment. The Bible calls it the Judgment Seat of Christ. Everybody understand there's two judgments, right? There's the judgment of Christians, the Bema Seat Judgment, the Judgment Seat of Christ, and then there's the Great White Throne Judgment at the end of the tribulation, and those are for the lost people. Everybody with me? I'm sorry, at the end of the Millennial Kingdom. All right, we'll go over that later. But there's two judgments. The judgment that Christians are going to stand before the Lord is that judgment seat of Christ. And there the Bible says you will give an account. I believe you give an account of your works, whether they be good or bad, the Bible says. What does that mean, good or bad? It means whether you did them for yourself or for the Lord. It means whether you've done them for self-glorification or for God's glorification. I believe that pretty well says it all. Are you teaching that Sunday school class because you want to be patted on the back, because you want the glory, because whatever? Or are you doing it for God's glory? That's why we're so careful up here on the platform with special singers. These special singers are not here for you. Or they shouldn't be. Primarily, I'm saying, they're here for the Lord. They're singing to the Lord. We don't clap to them. They're not here to entertain us. They're here to set a mood to get us ready for the preaching of the Word of God. Boy, amen? Come on now. And so, we are here to glorify the Lord. I mean, do you do it for God's glory or do you do it for your own glory? And all of us, listen, all of us go back and forth on this. There's no one here who could say, well, I've always done it for God's glory. That's not true. We're selfish by nature. Right? And so we have to check up every once in a while and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I serving the way I'm serving? Because we're going to give an account one day. One day we're going to stand with God and give an account. I'm going to give an account as a father of how I've raised my children and how I've met their needs and so forth and so on. I'm going to give an account of those works, whether they be good or bad. I'm going to give an account as a pastor for the church. I'm giving an account, and you just go down the list. We're going to give an account. You're not going to get off scot-free. Is that the way I'm trying to say it? Well, my sins are all forgiven, past, present, future. Then I don't have anything to worry about. Yes, you do. You're going to stand before your holy, righteous Savior one day who shed His blood for you and shed His blood for me. And we're going to stand before Him one day and we're going to have to say, I don't know why I did it that way. I don't know why I served that way. I don't know why I was that kind of father. I don't know why I was that kind of pastor. You know what I'm saying? We're going to stand before Him and give an account is what the Bible says. A reckoning. I think we are going to be asked some questions. What happened here? What happened there? And then we're going to receive rewards and loss of rewards. Some of our works are going to be burned up with wood, hay, and stubble. And that's not my message tonight, but just a reminder. We're going to stand before God one day. Our priorities are important. We ought to do the best things first. The most important things first. And most of the time that can be decided simply by looking to the Lord and saying, you know what? About 90% of our decisions can be made by just simply thinking, I wonder what the Lord would do in this situation. I'm going to give an account for this. I preached on this several months back and I said this and I just used a statistic. And I think it's absolutely true. Somebody came up with it. And that is, the Bible absolutely is our roadmap. And 90% of all the decisions we make, can be determined from here very easily. This is the way it is. It's only 5 or 10% of the decisions we make that may be in the grayish area. And I'm telling you, most of those can be decided by accountability. That I'm going to give an account for this. Is this the best thing for me to do? By the way, I'm not giving an account to my earthly dad. I'm standing before my heavenly Father, who sits on a big throne, who loved me and gave His Son for me. I want Him to be pleased with me. I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Were preachers only going to be for the perfect ones? David wasn't perfect. I'm just telling you, I'm glad our God's a loving and forgiving God. But let's don't take that for granted. Let's live for Him. We think about accountability, and I just actually went to the next point of defining those important things, and those are important, and they are defined in the Bible. We use that verse a lot there in Matthew chapter 22, when those lawyers came and asked the question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? All those 613 laws of the Old Testament, which are the greatest? And He defined it. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As we think about priorities, they are defined by the Word of God. And that is simply to love God supremely first, and then to love others as much as you love yourself. I've said many times that these are one and the same commandment. In other words, if you love God properly, if you're loving God, then you'll love others. If you're loving others, then that means your relationship with God must be right. Because the only way you can love everybody is to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. Oh, you can love some people and be okay, but you can't love everybody and not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's impossible. It's impossible. I love that old song, Jesus just makes you want to love everybody. Let me sing it for you. We won't do that tonight. That's an old-time religion song. We pull that out and sing it. Our priorities are defined by the Word of God. Love God. Love Him supremely. Put Him first. Communion with the Lord. Sitting at Jesus' feet. Spending time with Him. And developing that personal relationship with Him. You can't walk into a Sunday school class and teach a Sunday school class every week, week upon week, week upon week, and expect to do a good job if you're not communing with the Lord. In other words, your service is impacted by your communion with the Lord. You can't continue to give out and give out and give out to people, whether it's teaching a class or simply helping others around you, unless you're taking something in. Unless you're communing with the Lord and taking those things in, you've got to spend time with the Lord. It absolutely is like gasoline in a car. If you want your job, your day to go the way the Lord wanted to go, put some gas in the car. Anyway, all right. The law of the Lord establishes the framework upon which we organize our priorities. In other words, this gives us a framework. Again, those 5 or 10% things that are not exactly mentioned in the Bible, those 5 or 10%, at least there's a framework there for you. Put God first. Commune with Him. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. We think about, I preached a message actually that was called Sitting and Serving years ago. Sitting and serving. And there are times for both. The problem is, which times to do them? When to do them? The problem is when and how. And the order is established by God. The first is communing. The second is serving. Sitting must always precede serving. I've got ahead of myself on a couple of these, but here we go. As we think about setting a schedule, and can I tell you that discipline doesn't make you spiritual, but it puts you in a position that you can be spiritual. The Christian life is not all about discipline. And discipline simply won't make you spiritual, because the Pharisees and Sadducees were disciplined. They memorized the Scripture. They read the Scripture. They fasted. They prayed. But it did not make them spiritual. Being disciplined as a Christian is a must if you are going to grow in the Lord. But again, it does not necessarily make you spiritual. It can make you puffed up, the Bible says. Knowledge puffeth up. And so it's all about your attitude. It's all about your motivation when you go to pray with the Lord, when you go to spend time with Him. You go to Him humbly, as Brother Zellner's been teaching in our prayer meetings. You go to Him reverently, fall before His face, seek His will in your life. It's not whether you know more Bible than Kelly Clark. Not whether you know more Bible than Dr. A.V. Henderson. It's whether or not you are communing with the Lord, that you are spending time with Him. It's not whether you can debate somebody on what the kingdom of God is compared to what the whatever. It's not about whether you can debate somebody with the Bible. It's about your personal relationship with the Lord. How is that personal relationship? Loving Him means putting Him first. Loving the Lord means putting Him first. And putting Him first means to have that private time with Him. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I'm telling you, the Bible, when it refers, most of the time it refers to devotion or having a devotional time, especially in the Old Testament, it usually refers to early. And see, most people don't want to get up 5 minutes early or 10 minutes early and spend just a little time with the Lord before they get into their day. But you've got to. You've got to first things first. I don't know how many times I walked in on my dad early in the morning. He got up at 5, 6 o'clock every morning, and I would see him with his Bible open at the kitchen table, reading his Bible and praying. Having that private, personal time. And I know there's some of you who may, your clocks are turned, you work different times, and it does not mean you have to get up early to be spiritual, okay? If you work all night, get some sleep. Amen? You can't have a personal relationship with Jesus if you're sleeping during your prayer. So your personal time may be in the evening. It may be on your break at work. It may be on in your car. Your prayer time could be in your... Don't read the Bible on your way. Prayer time works, but reading the Bible between the steering wheel, that's carrying you a little too far. Or putting on makeup. You've seen them ladies who do that? Put the makeup on. Right, with coffee in the other hand. I wonder what is driving the car. Okay. Nobody's ever seen that on the highway? Of course, us guys, you know, we go drive through Jack in the Box, get a spicy chicken sandwich. Spicy. I don't get an amen on that one. Have you ever had one of those? I haven't had one since the first of the year. I think I should have one tonight. I think we ought to make it a church fellowship. Whew, man, that sounds good. But we'll drive with the spicy chicken sandwich and the Dr. Pepper on the other hand. But I wanted to include the guys on. I didn't want to just pick on the ladies. But, and I'm making you laugh, but reading your Bible on the way to work won't work. Having your prayer time will. I've done that before in my own life. When I lived in Springtown and had a 35-minute commute to the church, I spent most of that time personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't want to waste that time listening to ESPN. How is your personal walk? The Bible speaks of worshiping in the congregation of our Lord. As we come together, and I know we're speaking to the core group tonight, so this may be falling on deaf ears, but you guys came to worship tonight. But I do know there's many who come to services out of routine and just go through the motions, and many times they're not listening. Many times they're not listening. You ever taught a kids' class at church and you have that one or two that are not listening, you know, and you've got to catch their attention? I haven't used this in a long time, but I used to call them commercials. These little breaks I take every once in a while, they're commercials. People's attention span is like 7 minutes long. And most of the time, especially maybe not Sunday mornings, but when Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, when I do something just kind of ridiculous and most of you guys roll your eyes, honestly, you need that. Because most of you won't hang with me. You won't. It's just the day and age which we live in. I can't tell a joke, so therefore I just say stupid stuff or make fun of myself or whatever. And when we're not paying attention in the congregation, listen, when we're not paying attention in the congregation, we're not worshiping. As you're not paying attention when you're reading your Bible and having that daily devotional time with the Lord, you're not worshiping. So you have to be careful. You have to guard yourself when you are reading the Bible, when you are praying, that you're paying attention. I don't know how many times I've backed up on something I've read. I may have gone through 6 verses in my Bible and found myself, my mind wandering. And y'all know how my mind is. It wanders a lot. And I have to come back and reread it. I promise you the Lord would rather have you read 6 verses and pay attention than read 3 chapters and never pay attention. And same thing at church. And again, I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, but I know individuals who come who are not listening. Some of them come just simply to get their church thing out of the way and go about their lives. And I'm so glad for you guys to come tonight and listen to me 3 days a week. I have it written in the front of my Bible that says, would I listen to myself 3 days a week? It's written in the front of my Bible. My pastor told me to write it there, Eddie Johnson. So you just remind yourself every once in a while that what if you had to listen to you 3 days a week? I don't know what I would do. But I'm glad you do listen. But listening is part of worship as we commune with the Lord. So we think about this, setting that schedule, sitting and serving. It's important that we love the Lord. We do love the Lord, and that means putting Him first and worshiping Him, spending that quality time with Him at home and at church. At home and at church. By the way, it takes 3 to thrive. 3 to thrive. Come to 3 services and more when we have revivals and conferences. I'm telling you, we need all we can get from the Bible. Whether it's me preaching here or Brother Wiggins preaching or Brother Henderson preaching, or Brother Cox, Brother Renz, whoever's in the pulpit, whoever's teaching you, we need that. We absolutely, the Bible makes that very clear. Number two is family. We talk a lot about family here at our church, and family is priority. We must spend time with each other. If other than God, who has the first priority in your life? That is your spouse. And it really bothers me. So many times I see in families where the kids come first. And I can tell you right now that will never work. And it never works. If your kids, and I see it more so, it seems, in the ladies, and I'm just pointing it out because it's true. If your kids are more important than your husband, or your kids are more important than your wife, your marriage is headed down the wrong direction. I am telling you, if your kids take priority, one of the things I see a lot is a husband telling a child what to do, or a wife telling a child what to do, and the other spouse interfering with that decision. Man, get on board with each other. In other words, if that husband or that wife makes a decision, man, you're the most important one in their life, not your kids. Amen? And a lot of times what happens with when some families put the kids first is the kids run the household. And that is a big, huge problem today. Not so much in our church, and I don't see it a whole lot, but don't let the kids run the house. Please. Enjoy your kids. But don't let them run the house. I so much enjoy now with my kids. I just love it. I love spending time with my kids. Me and my wife are already crying about Caleb graduating a year from now. I love spending time with him. I'm glad I get to enjoy his teenage years. I don't have to endure them. I get to enjoy his teenage years. And if you will put the Lord first and put your spouse first and get on board with discipline and how you're going to manage your kids, that's what I said, manage. You would manage your garden. You would take time and weed the garden and spend a little time in the garden, or else you're not going to get no fruit, right? Spend a little time managing your kids. And grow them and spend time with them. The family's priority. Your wife, your spouse is priority. Spending quality time with your children. Proverbs 22:6, which most people are familiar with, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And can I tell you, I've really learned this in the last several years. That age 0 to 6 is so important in a child's life. 0 to 6. You better get a handle on your child before he's 6 years old or she's 6 years old. And you might be able to fudge that up to about 8, like we did with one of ours. If you got one that's strong-willed, and y'all laugh, and people here know that. I mean, it may take a little longer with some of them, but you can't give up. I got people come to my office all the time and say, "Preacher, you talk about corporal punishment, and it just don't work with my kids." Yes, it does. It works with every one of them. You just not wanting to be consistent with it and loving with it. Listen, corporate punishment does not work if you're not spending time with your kids. If you're just working 80 hours a week and not going to the baseball with them, or, you know, not taking them out, you know, throwing the baseball in the front yard, or taking them fishing like I do with my kids, or if you're not spending time with them, yes, corporate punishment doesn't work. Because if you don't show that you love them, then it doesn't work. You've got to have both. Love your kids by spending time. Love is spelled T-I-E. T-I-M-E. It's been a long, hard 3 days. I never knew it would take so much work to keep up with 12 boys. I've enjoyed it, but T-I-M-E. And y'all have heard me say it 1,000 times. T-I-M-E. Spend time with your kids. You can tell them you love them, but if you don't spend time with them, they won't believe you. Spend time with them. Be consistent in discipline. Spend time with your kids. Be consistent in your discipline. Pray hard. Amen? Don't have all the answers. But your kids and your wife and your spouse are priority. God first. Amen? Family second. Spend time with your kids. Parents, spend time with your kids. And then third on that list to me would be, what do I do for others? As I think about serving in the areas of the church and other areas and helping my neighbor, worshiping God is priority, and then serving others around me, wherever that may be. I'm really looking as a church, and maybe I should say this more. Our theme this year is doing good. What I like to see us do, we're going to help the camp out, Texas Home of Baptist Youth Camp. We're going to do some things for them and put a ceiling in their cafeteria. Really looking for three projects that we can do for someone outside the church that we can personally do, personally help. And one of those three, I'd like for us to help somebody in the community in a significant way, whether it's helping roof a house. I don't know, I'm saying we have to literally, I'm just saying paint a house or somebody, looking for someone who is in need but is a legitimate need. I had a lady come to, we have them come by all the time, you know, wanting money and so forth. And really, we help them somewhat. But what we're looking for is someone who has a legitimate need. If you come across somebody like that, we want to serve our community, amen? And I think along with our theme, we want to help somebody in a significant way. We must be about doing good at home, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, here at the church. Be about doing good, serving others. If I would end, I'd end it this way. What do you live for? Good question. Do you live for your job? Or do you live for the Lord? I think it's as simple as that. And I think each of us need to answer that question. So, preacher, you're a pastor, you know. I can get consumed in the work too. What are you consumed with? Let's have our priorities right. Let's serve the Lord, but not before we commune with Him and spend some time with Him. As I said, I had somebody come to my office this last couple of weeks, and they're not in the room right now, so I'm not talking about them. But at very first question, how's your devotional time? How's your personal walk with the Lord? Maybe I ask the same question to you tonight. If I could come to you individually and say, how's your personal walk with the Lord? Notice I didn't say how many chapters did you read this week. I don't think with the Lord that's all that important. But how's your personal relationship with the Lord? It's kind of like you could spend time with your kids but not spend time with your kids. I mean, if you're out on the front porch and they're out throwing the ball and you're on your iPad, you know, or still taking calls from work and you've spent no time with them, come on. Is your personal time quality time? Don't have to be quantity. How's your personal time? And then how is your service? Service is important. Let's serve Him with everything we have. Amen? Let's all stand. Have a time of invitation. Hymn 160. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Or let's do Just As I Am. 167, I believe. Just As I Am. Lord, spoke to your heart, you come after we pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for the Bible that gives us a roadmap for our lives. We thank you that you have not left us to just figure it out on our own. But God, you've given us some priorities. I thank you for that. And help us, Lord, to keep our priorities straight. Help us to love you more, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.